Home Education, Ellen G. White. The work of the mother is an important one. Amid the homely cares and trying duties of everyday life, she should endeavor to exert an influence that will bless and elevate her household. In the children committed to her care, every mother has a sacred charge from the Heavenly Father, and it is her privilege, through the grace of Christ, to mold their characters after the divine pattern, to shed an influence over their lives that will draw them toward God and heaven. If mothers had always realized their responsibility and made it their first purpose, their most important mission, to fit their children for the duties of this life and for the honors of the future, immortal life, we would not see the misery that now exists in so many homes. The mother's work begins with the babe in her arms. I have often seen the little one throw itself and scream if its will was crossed in any way. This is the time to rebuke the evil spirit. The enemy will try to control the minds of our children, but shall we allow him to mold them according to his will? These little ones cannot discern what spirit is influencing them, and it is the duty of the parents to exercise judgment and discretion for them. Their habits must be carefully watched. Evil tendencies are to be restrained and the mind stimulated in favor of the right. The child should be encouraged in every effort to govern itself. Regularity should be the rule in all the habits of children. Mothers make a great mistake in permitting them to eat between meals. The stomach becomes deranged by this practice, and the foundation is laid for future suffering. Their fretfulness may have been caused by unwholesome food still undigested, but the mother feels that she cannot spend time to reason upon the matter and correct her injurious management. Neither can she stop to soothe their impatient worrying. She gives the little sufferers a piece of cake or some other dainty to quiet them, but this only increases the evil. Mothers often complain of the delicate health of their children and consult a physician when, if they would but exercise a little common sense, they would see that the trouble is caused by errors in diet. I was seated once at the table with several children under 12 years of age. Meat was plentifully served, and then a delicate, nervous girl called for pickles. A bottle of chow chow, fiery with mustard and pungent with spices, was handed her, from which she helped herself freely. The child was proverbial for her nervousness and irritability of temper, and these fiery condiments were well calculated to produce such a condition. The oldest child thought he could not eat a meal without meat, and showed great dissatisfaction if it was not given him. The lad had not been provided with work, and he spent the greater portion of his time in reading that which was useless, or worse than useless. He complained almost constantly of headache, and had no relish for simple food. Parents should provide employment for their children. Nothing will be a more sure source of evil than indolence. Physical labor that brings healthful weariness to the muscles will give an appetite for simple, wholesome food. Jesus, the Son of God, in laboring with his hands at the carpenter's trade, gave an example to all youth. Let those who scorn to take up the common duties of life remember that Jesus was subject to his parents and contributed his share toward the sustenance of the family. Few luxuries were seen on the table of Joseph and Mary, for they were among the poor and lowly. Parents should be an example to their children in the expenditure of money. It is not necessary to specify here how economy may be practiced in every particular. Those whose hearts are surrendered to God and who take His word as their guide will know how to conduct themselves in all the duties of life. They will learn of Jesus, who is meek and lowly of heart. And in cultivating the meekness of Christ, they will close the door against innumerable temptations. They will not be studying how to gratify appetite and the passion for display, while so many cannot even keep hunger from the door. The amount daily spent in needless things with the thought, "It is only a trifle," seems very little. But multiply these littles by the days of the year, and as the years go by, the array of figures will seem almost incredible. I might admonish parents to teach their children strict economy. Teach them that money spent for that which they do not need is perverted from its proper use. He that is unfaithful in that which is least would be unfaithful in much. If men are unfaithful with earthly goods, they cannot be entrusted with the eternal riches. Set a guard over the appetite. Teach your children by example as well as by precept to use a simple diet. Teach them to be industrious, not merely busy, but engaged in useful labor. Seek to arouse the moral sensibilities. Teach them that God has claims upon them, even from the early years of their childhood. Tell them that there are moral corruptions to be met on every hand, that they need to come to Jesus and give themselves to Him, body and spirit, and that in Him they will find strength to resist every temptation. Keep before their minds that they were not created merely to please themselves, but to be the Lord's agents for noble purposes. Teach them, when temptations urge into paths of selfish indulgence, to look to Jesus, pleading, "Save, Lord, that I be not overcome." Angels will gather about them in answer to their prayers and lead them into safe paths.